Let us turn to to Galatians chapter 3. We are, as I've said, we shall, by the end of the month, we shall complete this year and a half long discourse, amen, as it's been stretched out, in the glorious body of Christ, the church, that we understand what God has done in our lives, to appreciate the church, that has been clouded in the minds of many because we do not view the church in the vein of what it actually is.
All right now.
In the heavens, there is the body of Christ that has been bought, paid for, amen, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God that was slain in eternity.
Yes.
That is the church. That is the real church.
The real one.
That is the essence of what the church is. The ecclesia, the called out ones that are placed in the body of Christ. There in your glorified position, no, you don't have it yet from the standpoint of manifestation, but it's there. Yeah. I guarantee you it's there. The new man, the new creation, the one that Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. The new creation in Christ is existing right now in the essence of Christ in eternity. Glorified. Amen. He is not manifested to us yet, but he is there.
Yes.
That is the new man.
Yes.
That is, in essence, the church.
Yes.
In creation, on earth, in time, we have the manifestation of local assemblies or organized assemblies, and some have taken the assemblies and grouped them into what we know as denominations and organizations, and certainly we're not here, amen, to fight against denominations and organizations as such. Amen. But we must understand that these earthly manifestations are depictions of local assemblies are just that. They're earthly manifestations. This is not the church, the essence of the church. This is the earthly manifestation of those in testimony who give testimony to the fact that God has called them and placed them into the body of Christ. It is for manifesting the goodness and the graciousness of God. Amen. But in order for us to really feel and understand and know, I should say, the glorious blessings of God, we must come to comprehend what the church actually is.
Yes.
Too many of us do not appreciate what the church is because we're looking at organizations, we're looking at denominations, we're looking at local assemblies, we're looking at men, we're looking at programs, we're looking at church, and to us, church is in the physical sense. The church is not. The real church is not an organization.
Right.
The real church is a spiritual organism, the body of Christ. Amen. And this is what we hope that through these many presentations that we have come to you now, some 47 or 48 messages, I think today would probably be message number 48, on the essence of the body of Christ, the church. I hope that we come to appreciate the church. Amen. We look around at organizations, we might question, what did Jesus die for? And we look around at local assemblies and we see, amen, the failures and the faults of men, amen, and women working together, and it's a beautiful thing, but Jesus died for more than that. What Jesus died for is the eternal essence of those who are placed in the body of Christ and given the very nature of God. Amen. That is glorious. That is beautiful. That is wonderful. So wonderful that when you look into the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Ephesians, and God begins to flex his muscles and show the principalities of the power, his manifold wisdom, he points at the church, not the local assembly, but the body of Christ. The essence of what the church is. And so it is a glorious thing. It is a great thing to be in the body of Christ, the beautiful, glorious body of Christ. Hallelujah. As we look at to the Word of God, the description there is speaking of the essence of what the body of Christ is composed of. First of all, the value of the body of Christ resides in the head. All right. The value that has been affixed to the body of Christ is the value of the head.
Of the head.
Amen. And the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. The body is valuable because the body is so valuable because the head is so valuable.
Yeah.
The body is beautiful because the head, y'all don't hear me, because the head is so beautiful.
Yeah.
The body has the nature of God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the matchless one. Amen. God has blessed us to the end. That in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of the depraved encapsulation of human flesh, and that we are all encapsulated into, we are members of the body of Christ, and the depraved nature that we have will be destroyed, for God has given us the very opposite of depravity. He has given us the nature of God. He has given us his righteousness, his goodness. You all hear me this morning? And we miss it.
Yes, we do.
We miss it because we're too busy looking at, amen, organizations. And looking at the blunders of men. And we all blunder. Amen. And some say, well, you're giving the church a bad name. You cannot give this church a bad name. Right. You cannot give the body of Christ a bad name.
Right. Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Organizations are only earthly representations in testimony. And, but the testimony is this. We are depraved. We are unrighteous. We are unworthy. And this is what grace means. Unmerited. Undeserving. We're righteous not because we deserve it. We're righteous because he has made us righteous. But the priority must be on the head. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is why when we stand up behind the pulpit to preach, there's only one subject. You will never hear me come up to tell you my subject is anything but Jesus.
Jesus.
He is the only one that's worth talking about.
Hallelujah.
If you're not talking about Jesus, you're not preaching.
Amen.
Amen. When you're talking about politics, you're not preaching.
Amen.
When you're talking about sociology, you're not preaching.
Amen.
When you're talking about psychology, you're not preaching. The only time you're preaching is when you're talking about Jesus.
Jesus.
Hmm?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus alone.
Yes. Hallelujah.
All right. Deacon Galvin shall be our Destiny, read. I want everyone to get a Bible, and for our guests, I want someone to go back there and get two copies of The Glorious Body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Those that are listening to this on the internet, we are on page 36 this morning. That document here at the Grace Gospel Church, everything that we preach and teach, we put in writing. This is what 7 years ago the Lord directed me when I began this ministry. Amen. That everything should be put in writing. We don't preach on anything. We don't teach on anything unless we put it in writing. And so no one can come and say they're preaching this and teaching this. And we seek to let the script, the text, do the talking. And when we interpret the scriptures, we do it through the methodology of looking at it real closely from first the historical standpoint. That is, what are we preaching from and what is this about? What era does it speak of? What dispensation it's speaking of? The second thing is we make sure we contextualize. We put everything in the context. The most dangerous thing that you can ever do is to go into this Bible and grab a part of a verse, or even a verse, snatch it out of something, and begin even to think that it is saying something that the text is not saying. So we contextualize it. And then lastly, what we make sure that we go into the grammar. And the New Testament was written in Greek. So we go to the original Greek manuals, copies, I should say, of the manuals. The autograph is not available. But we go into the text and we break it down into its grammatical components. We do this because grammar is a useful tool, because you can make a statement, a group of statements, and five people can hear it, and they come up with five different renditions of what was said and what was expressed. Amen. But the grammar is there to give to us, amen, some guide into what the intended thought thinking is, what the writer, amen, of course the whole Bible is written by God, but what the written word seeks to express to us. Mm-hmm. And one of the most glorious blessings that a child of God can have is to pick up this Bible and understand what you are reading. To get the actual intended thought, that what is expressed, that you understand it. I said to you this morning, you are so blessed if you can pick up this Bible and study it and get the word rightly divided and understood and settled in your heart, because it's going to make the difference in your life. And this is what the business of the church should be about on a prioritized basis. So we scrutinize it. Historically, conceptually, contextually, and also grammatically.
Amen.
All right. I will be getting into some grammar this morning as we move forward. But that is so necessary, amen, to bring out certain things. Mm-hmm. So take your document, if you got it, and we'll be on page 36. But more important than that, open your Bibles. Amen. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Keep your Bibles open. We start with the Bible open. We preach with the Bible open. We end with the Bible open. Amen. Amen. You won't get some subject. My subject is Jesus. Read a couple of places, and then I go all the way over the Bible, quoting scriptures, and go, carry it on, and not stick into the script. Amen. If we call a script, we're going to look at the script, and then through the workings of God and the knowledge of God, the Holy Spirit will tell us what the script is saying. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. All right, let's go first to the third chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. That's our base scripture that we have been utilizing from the time that we have started, which basically describes the body of Christ, what it is comprised of, and those who God has placed in it. So first, Deacon, I want you to read, you know what to read, from the 26th to the 29th verse. So everyone that has Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, amen. When we have that, we will read that without too much comment. Then we will go to where we have been gleaning, and that is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, context is verses 9 through 13, and we had moved down to verse 13. We shall hit a couple of places in 11 and 12, not too much this morning. You pray for me. We're certainly hoping to close out this dissertation by the end of the month. So let us now begin in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right. Read.
Verse 26, Galatians 3.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God,
mm-hmm,
by faith in Christ Jesus.
Now, see, not if you do this or if you do that. Amen. Say, you are the children of God. How?
By
through the faithfulness of Christ.
Right.
Amen. No condition there. Amen. Not if you live right, heaven belong to you. If you pray right, heaven belong to you. If you walk right, heaven belong to you. No. You are based upon Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. Thank God it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's all about Him. Mm-hmm. All right. Read verse 27.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Here again, he's speaking about spiritual baptism, the act of being placed, a position into Christ. All spiritual. Those who have put on Christ have been baptized into Christ. Not speaking of water baptism. Not speaking about water baptism. Not, you don't get saved through water baptism. Water baptism doesn't save anyone. Amen. Water baptism, amen, is a ceremony, amen, and at best it can serve in manifestation as a ceremony stating that you have joined the local assembly. Mm-hmm. Baptism, this baptism here, is the one that Paul speaks of when he says there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he's not talking about physical baptism or water baptism. He is talking about being identified or placed in the body of Christ. That is spiritual. And in the 13th verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it tells us that it is by
one Spirit.
What's that? The Holy Spirit. That we are what?
Have we all.
We have been baptized, what?
Into one
body. What body is that?
It's the body
of Christ. Amen. And so it is the Holy Spirit that does the baptizing. By one Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, you are baptized, which means the Holy Spirit did the baptizing.
Yes.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit does not perform physical ceremonies.
No.
You all don't hear me this morning.
Come on.
All right, read.
Verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
In this body, all this foolishness, ethnicity, and, you know, black church, white, there is no such thing. I declare there is no such thing as the Japanese church. Philippine. These are all figments of mere imagination. It's not. Keep reading.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
I got to talk about that. No, 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 no. Someone asked this morning in Sunday school about, you know, about women preachers. You know, can she preach? Can she teach? Then what's to stop her from pastoring? I know this cuts against the grain of many denominations. Now, what is he saying? In the body of Christ, there's what?
Neither male nor female.
In the body of Christ, there's neither what?
Male nor female.
If there's no such thing, then why are we on this gender kick? The Lord took me home and he called a female, a woman, to pastor this church. Did everybody, if she's teaching this, man, my God, if she goes through this. Amen. Amen. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. Even if it's Donald Duck up here teaching and preaching, if he's preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God, if he's getting into the essence of this word, you say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, what foolishness. Mm-hmm. That's because we don't understand what the church is. The church is not the physical organization. The church is the body of Christ. Amen. The spiritual entity, not the physical entity. Keep reading. Finish that up.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
According to the promise of justification by faith. Let's move forward. There's some things I could say there, but we need to move forward this morning. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2. We have been gleaning there now, amen, for several weeks. Getting to the essence of what the body of Christ is and how you got to be a member. And what it means to be a member of the church, that is the body of Christ.
All right.
Amen. And what the implications of you being in the church. No, in the body of Christ. Because what we call the church is not the church. It's the church in identification, but the essence of what has been actualized, the church is the body of Christ. It is not that which you can see with the naked a physical eye. This building is church only in sense that it housed those who are believers, but these believers within themselves in manifestations is that only. Yes. Manifestation. The essence of the true church, of the true temple, of the true, amen, abode, of where we live, of where we dwell, is a spiritual body that your eyes cannot see. That's why we don't get all caught up in the programs. And of course, as I said, there are things that we certainly we'll do. We have a very good men and women fellowship. We had a very good men fellowship this morning, yesterday morning, I should say. And, of course, I heard the announcer said that the women did, too. Amen. Of course, I know they're not going to ever let us outdo them. But anyway, amen. But the essence of it is that we discuss certain points and things as it relates to our daily lives. But this forum...
Come on.
On Sunday morning has to be about what God is doing more than about what we're doing.
Yes.
The church has focus of the local assemblies have focused upon men instead of focusing upon God.
Sure.
It's not about who we are. It's about who he is. It's not about what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's about what he has already done.
Yeah.
So God is the subject and God is the focus. Mm-hmm. Not us. Mm-hmm. It is secondary.
Yes,
because my friend, whatever you're doing now is temporary.
Temporary. Temporary.
It's temporary.
Yes,
we're moving. Time is moving. Everything is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing stands still. Mm-hmm. Nobody can turn the clock back. Mm-hmm. It's moving and it's only moving in one direction. Oh, thank God it's moving in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving toward the essence of us being manifested in our glorified bodies.
Yeah.
Amen. And the problem is we don't have an appreciation for what God has done because we got the new man mixed up with the old man.
Yes, sir.
And people are looking at what they have been told is the new man.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see him mess up, which is not the new man,
right.
It's really the old man.
Right.
They're thinking that the new man is messed up and the new man can't mess up. Amen. John said he can't sin. It's impossible for him to sin. No, the new man can't sin. The problem is we got the new man mixed up with the old man. And we're looking at the old man. And even when I'm acting right and walking right. And you say, God is using me and identifying with the new man. But even when you see me, that's not the essence of the new man. That's the old man identifying with the new man.
Make it plain.
Because when he messes up, then I tell you, he's going to mess up.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Because he's encapsulated.
Mm-hmm.
He's covered with the depraved sinful nature.
That's right.
God saved you. He saved the essence of who you are, but he did not save your body.
He did not.
You cannot remove the sins from the body. Let's start reading. Woo.
Hallelujah.
All right, everybody got the second chapter of Colossians, verse 9. Let's let the script do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody got to say amen. All right, read.
Second Corinthians, Colossians 2:9.
Mm-hmm.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body.
Who is him?
Jesus.
Oh, amen.
Jesus.
We must be preaching. We talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. All right,
read. Verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head.
Now see, that'll throw something. That will throw something. To say you are complete in him, and then you look around, and you see yourself full of fault. You say, how am I complete in him? He's not talking about the old man.
Bring it out.
He's talking about the new man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who you really are is who you are in Christ. Who you are in manifestation is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are in these bodies is temporary. These bodies will be destroyed.
Yes, sir.
You know, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, they said, destroyed.
That's right.
The real you, the essence of you, is who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Eternally.
Mm-hmm.
The new man.
Yeah.
You are complete in him.
Yeah.
The new man.
Yeah.
I read.
And ye are complete in him,
mm-hmm.
which is the head
mm-hmm.
of all principality and power. In whom, verse 11, in
mm-hmm.
whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands.
Okay, we go back over that very, very quickly again. This circumcision is spiritual circumcision.
Amen.
Not made with hands. What does not made with hands mean? It is not handmade, hand wrought. And then, thank God, the Holy Spirit didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Made without hands
mm-hmm.
in putting off of the body.
Mm-hmm. So, this circumcision is not made with hands.
Mm-hmm.
And this circumcision entails putting off the body. This circumcision does not include the body.
That's right.
That's what it's saying. Mm-hmm. This circumcision does not include the body. This circumcision does not include the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a spiritual circumcision which does not include the body. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual circumcision. Mm-hmm. Finish reading that.
You want me to King James?
No, finish reading it. Yes, go ahead.
The body of the sins.
No. Get just the last one. Amen. The sins of the flesh. All right, I guess I have to touch on it again.
Okay.
Amen. We're trying to rush through. In the original Greek text, of the sins that's in your King James is not there.
It's not there.
Because then you would be saying, remove the sins from the body.
Ain't gonna happen.
You cannot remove the sins from the body. Now, let me explain that. Those that teach that you can remove the sins from the body, they will identify a few. And most of the time, the ones that they don't have no problem with. But if we would make a list of sins,
Come on.
The walls of this room wouldn't have enough space for us to write on. And we could be writing in small font, too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, when he condemned sin, he condemned it in the flesh. And if I call out a few, I got to call out all. Because, amen, he who is guilty in one, amen, he's guilty of them all.
Yes.
Can't remove the sins from the flesh. You got to get rid of the whole body. You got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just can't clean the baby up. Amen. This is why we get new bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? You can't clean this body up good enough for it to come before God. My God. Huh? It's got to be destroyed. Because it is sinful. There's sin in the flesh. We've not been given the nature of Adam. They say regeneration means going back to Adam. No, I don't want to go back to Adam in the garden before he supposedly sinned. Because, if that's as far as I go back, it's possible that I could sin. Because there's no way for me to say I would have done any different from Adam.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if that's as far back as we go, if it happened once, then it can happen again. No, we have been given the nature of Christ.
Amen.
You know, the first man, Adam, is of the earthly. The second man is the Lord from above. No. Spiritual. Oh my God, we've got to learn to appreciate who we are. The church, God has done something glorious for us. Don't look around at the boneheaded, stupid mistakes of organizations and bishops and potentates and men and what they have done. Amen. And you will fix that value to what the church is. That's just an assembly or organization. No! The glorious body of Christ, the real church, what he died for, oh, it's so magnificent and glorious and pure and beautiful.
Yeah.
Read that last
phrase.
Look at verse 11. The last phrase there.
By the circumcision of Christ.
So he's talking about the circumcision of Christ. Of the circumcision that belongs to Christ. Has nothing to do with your body. And here, the inference of circumcision is identification. God had Abraham circumcised as a token of identification that he had some relationship with God. So when you say circumcision, the purpose of circumcision is identification. And here they say this identification is the identification of Christ. Are you being a member of his body? So this is the circumcision of the identification that belongs to Christ. We got to get into these scriptures and see what they're actually saying rather than what men have said that they said. Right. That's right. That's right. Now read verse 12 right quickly.
All right. Colossians 2:12.
Mm-hmm.
Buried with him in baptism.
See that? What does that mean? If that's physical, we're in trouble. When we say him, we talk about Jesus, right? How are you buried with him in baptism? How were you buried with Jesus in baptism? You see, when you don't really, really, really keep this thing where it belongs, it causes you to have to make up things. It causes you to have to make up things. Now, my father was a pastor. He was an apostolic organization, church, and what they taught is that this buried in baptism meant when you went into the water, and then they took you down under the water, that was your burying baptism. No, it's not. No, it's not. First of all, we've already established that this baptism is spiritual, not physical. Not physical. Not physical. Then some of the evangelicals teach that that means that you were identified with him back upon Calvary. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because then it would only be addressing some of us instead of all of us. Here's what I mean. There are some who have not come to the place of the manifestation of their identification. Right. There are God's people walk around, don't know they're saved. And yet, they were co-buried with him in baptism.
That's right. That's right.
It's the past tense for them, just like it's the past tense for us.
That's right. Come on with it. Glory. Come on with it.
And they teach that as you put your trust in God, as you believe, you believe. As though you out of depraved flesh can make up your mind to believe. No, you were caused to believe. And then the only reason you were caused to believe is because you were his from the beginning. Old brother David, way back in the Old Testament, said, he knew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother belly. Apostle Paul said, he called me as an apostle. Amen. Amen. Before I was in the womb of my mother's belly. He said, call me from my mother's womb. Before he placed me in my mother's womb, he called me the priest. What are you talking about, Paul? No, this thing goes all the way back to eternity. You were chosen according to Ephesians 1 and 3. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. God called you up before he ever made you.
That's right.
Before the foundation of the world means before creation.
Amen.
I mean, how could David make such a bold statement? He knew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly. He knew me before he created me. This is what he was saying. So it's speaking of the essence of God's eternal work. And this is the problem. We are putting the workings of God in time instead of in eternity. We'll say that God is doing it every day when he did it before he created the world. Some of them say, when were you saved? And I can say, August or something, 1967. No, that's when you identified with your salvation. You were saved when you were called. Ephesians 1 and 3. According as we what? As he chose us in him before. What does before mean? It means prior to. 1 and 4, I should say. All right, for the record, because someone will come back and jump on that. 1 and 4, Ephesians 1 and 4. Prior to him creating the world, he chose you. I know some don't like that because we think one day we got up, we got tired of sin. We decided to go to church. We heard the right sermon at the right time and we came forward. Came down the aisle. And then depending upon what kind of denomination you were there, if you was in the denomination I was raised in, apostolics, you went into some room somewhere. And you tear it. You sweat it. You worked. You got all that sin out of you before you were accepted. If you're in the old Baptist church, you went on a mourner's bench somewhere. Then the evangelicals tell you to come down and say a sinner's prayer. You saved because you said, Lord, save me. All of a sudden, one day you got some sense. You were crazy all your life and have no sense all your life. One day you woke up and you had some sense. And there are your friends, they're still out there. Why do you think you got tired? What made you tired? God did it. Why did he do it? Because you belong to him all the time. Your salvation is not some happenstance or some accident. You didn't get saved on a chance. It wasn't a quirk. It wasn't a fluke. You were his all along. And you can say like David, he knew you before you were formed in the womb of your father's calling. So you were buried with him in baptism means that you were identified with him. When were you identified with him? When he knew you and chose you? When was that? In eternity? Before he made you? And see if you understand that. Then nobody can come along and tell you, you ain't got it no more. You backslid.
That's right. Come on, Grandpa. Come on.
And conduct is so very important. Conduct is ultra important. But what does grace mean?
Come on.
Unmerited.
Yes.
Undeserved.
Yes,
and if you receive this thing undeserved, then how can you lose it? Because you didn't earn it in the first place. How could you lose it? In other words, if you were saved by merit, how can you be lost by demerit? Who can lay anything the charge of God's elect? It is Christ who died. It is God who justified. Buried with him. Anything is buried, is done, is put away with. This is saying that your status in Christ was a self-issue before you were ever created. You being saved is irrevocable. upon you. He did it based upon his pleasure.
Yes. Thank you. Thank God.
Finish reading that.
Buried with him in
baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein also ye are risen with him.
You are risen. You see, if that was talking physically, that wouldn't make any sense. And they talk.
Air is best.
That you were buried with him in baptism is when they submerged you in the water. And you were resurrected when they took you up out of the water. And so through a ceremony, you saved. Did I just teach you were resurrected when Christ was resurrected in eternity, you were resurrected with him? But when were you really raised? You were really raised when you were buried. When were you buried in eternity? When were you raised in eternity? And this is what we don't understand about the new man.
Right.
The new man, he's positioned in the body of Christ right now.
Right.
The new man is not the old man we formed.
No.
You know, the old proverbial, look at my hands was new, look at my feet. No, you don't. No, you don't. Same old corns and calluses.
Uh-huh.
You were, if you were pigeon-toed before you knew Christ, I dare say those bad boys are still the same way. No, you're not. 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 You have identified with the new man. And sometimes I act like the new man, and sometimes I don't. And also, salvation, amen, is not some tube that you put on and take off. The old Baptists used to say, I'll take my religion, I'll lay it down, I'll take care of you and I'll pick it back up. No, you don't. No, you don't. What is happening is, these scriptures are urging us to identify with the new man, but sometimes you don't. And you get mad and you lay somebody out. That's just the old man doing what Adam does.
Amen.
That wasn't the new man.
No.
So, ooh, I thought so-and-so was saved. Well, what do you mean? So, well, I saw her do so-and-so. Listen, she can't be possibly be saved. But give me a break. Let me follow you around for a while.
Oh. Amen.
You might not do that, but you're going to do something.
Uh-huh.
Depravity is going to do something. Depravity is going to be depraved. So don't get the new man mixed up with the old man.
Oh.
But we certainly, amen, exhort you to imitate and to identify with the new man. Now, that's what it's all about. Good conduct is good conduct. It's a good testimony. That's saying I'm identifying, this is what the new man is. Amen. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we fail, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. Give me about 3 minutes. I'm going to wind this up. See, I didn't even get where I'm going this morning. I don't know whether I'll finish this by the end of the month or not. I'm going to try. Oh, my God. Finish that up.
Buried with him in baptism,
mm-hmm.
wherein also ye are risen with him
mm-hmm.
through the faith of the operation of God.
That's it. Through the operation of God. Through the faithfulness of the operation of God.
Mm-hmm.
Through what God is doing.
Right.
Through what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Through what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're saved by what God has already done.
Already done.
Mm-hmm. Your salvation is not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Not what you did one day. See, I didn't even get to verse 12, 13 today. We'll start off there next week. But it's not about what you did. I don't want my salvation to be dependent upon me. No, I don't. You don't. You don't really want your salvation to be dependent upon your actions, your thoughts, your works. Nothing about you. All right, I'm closing for today. But I'm praying that God's people will appreciate their salvation. Appreciate who you are, what God has done. Be happy about salvation. If you be happy about salvation, you can be happy about life. Because even when life go wrong, nothing is going wrong with salvation. God is good even when things are not going, quote, well. But things are always going well, amen, in the body of Christ. All about him, not about us, not about us. Oh, isn't he lovely? Isn't he great? Isn't he marvelous? Don't you love him this morning? Give him a big hand praise. Give him a grace praise. Give him a gracious praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!